T-Tom, not you or not Big B, because I need both of you to pass out notes. Right here, please. Please, gentlemen, thank you. Isaiah 5, verse 20 and 21. Now, by the way, there will be a tendency for you to already know everything I know plus 10, and that will be to your downfall, because this morning is simple, but trust me, it causes problems. So I'm going to ask Jim Duncan, this has nothing to do with you, other than you sent me a good article yesterday, which I forwarded on to other people who probably didn't read the article yet. Everybody looking at me? By the way, they can pass out the notes. In America, by the way, this whole session is going to be about debatable issues. And in our church, debatable issues are not what's debatable in a lot of churches. So we're going to be real specific. You say, which one are you? I'm a conservative. Neither of the above, thank you very much. But the average person in this room doesn't know what a conservative even means. If you want to know, look up Kirk, not Charlie Kirk, the original Kirk on conservatism. By the way, there's a whole stream of thoughts. But let me ask a question. Of these two groups, which one of them wants to suppress the freedom of speech? It depends on whose speech. That is correct. By the way, now here's the difference. If you are not a thinking person, Donald Trump is a motor mouth. All the time. Until this day, last week or the week before, I'm 68 years old, I had never heard the name of the chairman of the FCC until we had a Trump appointee motor mouthing his mouth about suppressing free speech. By the way, you haven't either. You don't know who the FCC chairman? Who is that? Donald Trump is, forgive me, does idiotic things with this thing. And by the way, for the life of me, why he's talking about Jimmy Kimmel, I have no idea. Who cares about Jimmy Kimmel or Rosie O'Donnell? But hold on. These aren't your opinions, by the way. You don't get an opinion in this. These are reality. On the other side, we have the wonderful Barack Obama that walked on water, and who's the other guy? Sleepy Joe, who was asleep. Did they suppress free speech? Well, according to Facebook's guy under oath before Congress, yes! And now Google has come out. I'm assuming you know this, not if you're reading CNN, because you know they just leave that out of the news. Google, the guy ahead of Google, they've been suppressing free speech for whom? The right side of things. Under Barack Obama and Joe Biden. By the way, these aren't maybes. Can I say this? Everybody is for free speech.
For themselves.
We've got to learn to think. Now, I've already talked about in the Sunday morning, you've got to read more widely. You just read one source, whether it's conservative or liberal, you're just going to get pieces of the picture. I'm not a fan of Bill Maher. You ever heard of him? He said something, I don't know if it was recently, because I don't watch him, but it was on Fox. I did not know anybody in America knew that Christians were being murdered in Nigeria. He does. Because you don't hear it. By the way, Bill Maher says it's because the Jews aren't involved. If the Jews aren't killing Muslims, it's okay to kill Christians. By the way, Nigeria, according to the articles I've been reading, is the most dangerous place on earth for Christians to live. Why is that, Ade? I would say the second place, Sudan. By the way, why aren't you hearing this? You're getting media suppression constantly in different areas. Now, some of our problem in America, friend, no criticism of you, some of our problem is we're very America-centered. Ade, they don't care about Cameroon. You understand, nobody cares about Cameroon unless something weird happens. And then they bring it up. Yes? You have to search for any kind of, you know, international news. It's very hard to find. All right. Isaiah 5. We're not talking about that. I just bring that up, folks. You've got to learn to think about a lot of things. And I'm not the Pope. I don't tell you how to think on these things. Isaiah 5, verse 20. This is a long line of woes written a long time ago, not directly to us. Woe unto them that call evil, good. And good, evil. That put darkness for light, light for darkness. That put bitter for sweet, and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. By the way, it's very interesting what's connected to the next verse. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Can I say this? The smartest people, Sir G, the smartest people are not in this room. This is a joke. You got me? The smartest people, Tom knows this. Indirectly, not directly. He doesn't go to these places. He sees the results. And I'm being dead serious. Smartest people on earth, drunks. I've never met a dumb drunk. Drunks are smartest people I've ever met. Do you all not know that? All right. We're going to talk about in pursuit of truth and reality. What I'm going to do today is just get this process started. It's a very simple process. The first point is something that we all have to learn. You just got to learn it. I call it the palate cleanser. I'll talk about what that means. Boy, I was hoping. Oh, we have an evil person coming in with my wife. Hi, Nancy. You can't slip in that easy. Let's pray together. We'll get started. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together. May this be a profitable time. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to teach. May you bless this morning, I ask in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. I have in your notes something simple. I learned this first truth from two extremely different settings. At the mall, there used to be a place, by the way, the last time I was at, Jenny, do you remember the last time we went to the mall?
No.
I don't either. Was it before COVID or right at the beginning? Years. There used to be perfumania at the mall. So sometimes we'd go out, have a lunch at the whatever the place is to eat, go to perfumania, and try to see if my wife likes some perfume. What happens after you smell three perfumes?
She avoids it.
Because it will. It messes up, can I say this? Your palate. Now, if you've ever been to one of those places, they always have something. Somebody already knew. Yes, now I'm not going to open this packet up. This is not for me. My wife bought this for my son-in-law. I don't like my son all that much, so I wouldn't do that. But I do know this, folks. Listen. I can't barely smell it. But by the way, you smell coffee beans? What happens to your palate? It just opens your palate up. I learned that at Perfumania. Jared, this is yours.
And it pops open.
Yes, but I hadn't opened it because I didn't want to baptize everybody in coffee beans. By the way, look at me. You understand the palate cleanser. It's something that restores you back to starting point. Friends, for any of us, we're going to have, and I'm going to give you two specific verses. I'm talking about the you in your chair, not the you drifting off into outer space. We've got to get back because some of us don't smell real well. Because last night, my wife and I went to a party with the folks next door. I was talking to some family members. By the way, there was, 100 people there maybe. She was talking to the others. She met a young lady, goes to a Waukegan public school. Can you describe what that poor girl said to you about America? America was founded by rich people. I'm like, do you know anything about the folks that came here in 1620? Do you know that half of them died the first year? They know nothing. By the way, where is she learning? DEI, right here in this country. She's a Hispanic girl, lovely young lady, but she doesn't know anything. The only reason people came to America, by the way, is to get rich. I'm thinking, take a breath. I know a little bit of history. If that's true, that happened in Central and South America. That's where people came to get rich. Raped and pillaged people in Inca. Ooh, in Mexico? Wow. All right. Well, I learned this also, Dada. This is for you, Sushi. I don't eat, by the way, you never go out to eat sushi with this guy. there's sushi, and then there's the stuff he eats. He likes when the fish is still moving a little bit, you know, and you eat it on the moon. He's weird. Sushi for me was always like the California egg roll, you know, vegetables and some rice and a few other little things. But by the way, but I loved it in the mustard. You know, you put the mustard, mix it up, and man, it's got a good bite to it. But the problem is, after you've had four or five bites, what happens? Your palate, you can't taste anything again. Now, you say, why are you going after? By the way, what do you do? Ginger. Somebody said it. You eat ginger and it just clears your palate back to zero again. Yes or no? Do you all know this?
Yeah.
By the way, when we go have Indian food with Srajit and Satish and Rashida. Now me, I like hot food. But I've had some Indian food that you need something to cleanse that palate in a hurry. Because, you know, flames coming out of your ears. By the way, every culture has it. You have something that brings you back. All right? In your nose. What do we need? Well, first, I don't care what you call it, the or a palate cleanser. Friends, if you're arguing with somebody, your mind gets so consumed and your emotions get so, look at me, your emotions get so much into this that you don't have the ability to think well. That's you, that's me, that's everybody. Are you with me? Is everybody you or is it just me? I'm talking when you get in an argument. It makes no difference what the argument's about. After a while, I'm right, the whole world is wrong. You need something to cleanse the palate. I'm going to recommend Romans 3. Romans 3, verse 3. For what if some did not believe? Paul's asking a rhetorical question. Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. That's the King James expression of meganoita, which means, may it never be. Then here's what cleanses the palate. Yeah, yay, or yes. Let God be true. And what's that next phrase?
Every man.
All right, are you included in the next phrase?
Yes.
No, you.
Yes.
Because I have had young and old people come through that think that's for everyone but them. By the way, here's what cleanses the palate. Look at me. You got to step back every once in a while and do this. God is true, but I might not be. I just could be wrong. That's a palate cleanser. By the way, I read people all the time that I disagree with. Does that mean I'm always right? By the way, folks, that's the reason you read, to find out if you are or you are not. That's the submission. In your notes, this requires at least three things. First of all, I say a recognition. What's the recognition? God is true. God is true. Secondly, it requires an admission. What's the admission?
I'm not God.
Are you sure? Have you ever heard Billy Jim Bob's, Little Billy Baptist, have a conversation? You would think they're God himself. By the way, the most uneducated about everything that I ever meet know everything about everything. Why? By the way, God is true, but you're not God. Look up here. That cleanses the palate. It gets you back to a place where you can start thinking and discussing. If you don't go there, wow, you always end up exactly
where I started.
Wherever you started. So I'm going to ask you a question. Do you find yourself always ending up exactly where you started? You're right about everything? I don't know where Pastor Kowak is today, and that's fine. Maybe he's sick. Maybe he's gone. Who knows? But I want to say I sent him something last night because I saw it. And here's my problem. I don't know if it's true. January 6th, the so-called insurrection. By the way, it was not an insurrection. It was a mob of a bunch of idiots. Insurrection requires weapons to kill people. They didn't have that. They were just idiots. Trying, by the way, to embarrass the Democrats. Be real. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Some of you don't know. By the way, I don't like Nancy Pelosi, but she was the Speaker of the House, and you do not go into the Speaker of the House and do what people did in her office. They ought to go to jail, and Trump shouldn't pardon idiots like that. All right. I found out there were 274 FBI agents in the crowd. What were they doing in the crowd? By the way, I don't know. But our previous head of the FBI said there was no FBI agents there. Why did he say none, and now we find out there were 274? Now, I don't make any conclusions. By the way, you say why? Because I don't know enough yet. But I do know this. We've been lied to a lot in recent years. Now, I don't know. Is Trump a liar? Pretty much. But the only difference is he lies right out in public. So, you know, you kind of know what he's lying about. I want to say it again. There's a recognition. God is true. By the way, this is Christian. God is true, friend. That's where we always begin. Secondly, I'm not God. Or another way of saying that, I'm not the truth. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Do me a favor, everybody in the room. Look at the text and the highlighted portion. Would you read it out loud with me? Yay. Go ahead. Write this right again. Yay. Let God be true, but every man a liar. So for me, there's a recognition. God is true. That's what Paul is saying. There's an admission. I'm not the God and I'm not the truth. And then there's this submission part. And it's in the text. Let God be truth. You know, you have to submit to that. There's that element. So let God be true and every man a liar, including me. By the way, let's write it in different language. Write it in your notes or in your heart or in your mind. I could be wrong. Is that correct? I could be wrong about a whole bunch of stuff. It amazes me. We're going to talk about a little bit in the future, I think, the Dunn-Kruger effect. I've done it here before. The Dunn-Kruger effect is a simple concept, and anybody that knows anything sees it. Dunn-Kruger effect is like this. The higher your level of expertise, how does it affect your level of knowledge? And I'll give you a graph. Don't write anything down. The Dunn-Kruger effect basically says this. The less a person knows, the more confident they are. I've heard pastors that couldn't open a Greek New Testament and read one word. Talk about Greek text. Why are you talking about Greek text? You don't even read the language. Hebrew? Are you kidding me? They would have no... By the way, don't ever have opinions about things you don't know. The Dunn-Kruger effect is, by the way, I see it in church on a regular basis. Those who know the least think they know the most. Why? I don't know. How many books have you read this year? None. Read a novel. Why do we think we know things? I don't know. But this here is Pastor Warren's palate cleanser for me. By the way, can I say this? Some of you think I'm argumentative and I'm in your face. Do you not know I have conversations with my friends like this all the time and we are arguing all the time? I don't hang out with people that go like, I want to have arguments. I want to have discussions. All right, so there's a recognition. God is, there's an admission. I'm not God and I'm not the truth. Thirdly, there is a submission. Let God be true and every man a liar. Do I need to go any further and read the other verses? I think I'll just read the last verse of this introduction. Of this first point, the palate cleanser, or a palate cleanser, which is what? Talking about the person that will stay in God's, you know, in his space, in his holy place. He that walketh uprightly, or she, and worketh righteousness, and I love this phrase, and speaketh the truth in his heart. The hard place to talk truth is always to yourself. Yes, very difficult. Well, number two, double nickel. All right, let me look around the room here. Julia,
yeah.
Welcome to reality. I'm going to do something good for you today. Can I do something nice for you today?
Yeah.
I think it's nice. You can judge whether it's nice. Look in your note. What's a nickel? How many of you, Adi, have you ever seen a buffalo head nickel?
No.
That shows you you're younger than me. You haven't been here long. It takes you back a few weeks. Buffalo head nickel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but I think buffalo head nickels went out in the 30s. So the only reason you found them is they were hanging out there in the world somewhere. I think this modern nickel came after that somewhere. Don't know the exact year. recently I came across a nickel. Just a normal nickel. Does it look weird to you, Julia? Well, but you just see the color. Does that look weird to you?
Yes, it's like the color of a penny.
It's the color of a penny. I have a secret. I knew what this nickel was when I saw it and somebody handed it to me. There's only one kind of nickel that does that. And Julia, you're going to be the recipient of this thing. Now, the point of this sermon illustration is, or lecture, is nickel tattoo side, correct? On the back side of this nickel, it has a P above the building. Is that Jefferson? That's a Jefferson Memorial, isn't it? It's not the Lincoln Memorial. There's a P, which means what? Philadelphia Mint. Nobody knows. You only get a nickel that looks like this from one case. Well, I grabbed this nickel quickly. You say, why? I wanted this nickel. Now, I wanted it, but I already got some of these, so Julia, you're going to be the recipient. Are you ready? What's special? By the way, I really want you to see every nickel has two sides. See, what's special? This nickel is made of silver. This was from World War II, 42 to 45. They quit making nickels out of nickel, made them out of silver, so they tarnish weird. You have a 1940 free nickel. How about that, young lady?
It's worth more than 5 cents.
Yes, it's probably worth a couple of bucks, okay, something like that. It's not in great condition, so it's not one of the high quality ones. If you can find one that doesn't have the mint on the back, it's worth a lot. Yeah. Julia, I was nice to you. Mark it down one time your whole life. That's it.
Don't expect it again.
Don't expect it again. We're going to begin for a few minutes and talk about what I'm going to call the double nickel. We need to turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 10. Please. Luke chapter 10. We have a little bit of time. We'll read. I'm not in a hurry to finish these notes. These are going to carry on till next week, and I think we'll probably have this same section with some added stuff third week. I'm just going to talk about some basic ideas. Luke chapter 10. We'll start reading in verse 25. Everybody? Verse 25, and we'll conclude in verse 29. Pastor Cork, you find that? Could you read it for me, please?
And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?
Can I interrupt there for real quickly? By the way, lawyer is in Greek, but it's not what we think of as a lawyer. It was an expert in the law. Okay? That's kind of a joke. I didn't mean the pun on that, but I mean, that's a biblical law guy. Otherwise, a scribe, a Pharisee, somebody that was an expert. So go ahead and read that again and continue.
Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor?
That's good enough. We could go on. Have you ever noticed with many people, hear me, many people, we just keep spinning in a circle. Part of this is a fundamental flaw in all of us. Now, the thing that interests me in this text, are you guys ready? Is this. Why do you, no matter what someone says to you, try immediately to justify yourself? First of all, Jesus says, what's in the law? Have you kept it? Who's going to say yes? Well, he did. And then he wants to do what? Jesus talks about the neighbor. He wants to sidetrack that discussion. Are you with me? By the way, this is what I find with some people. What I'm trying to do is stop you from doing this. We just keep We always end back where we started. We never move forward. Folks, many years ago, because it helped me immensely, I preached a lot on forgiveness. I'm going to say this publicly because I said it privately to my wife the day I heard it. Charlie Kirk's wife said, "I forgive the guy that killed her husband." But by the way, look me in the eyes. Are you guys listening? Are you going to continue where you've always been? Forgiveness is both an act and a process. You're human. You're not God. I said, "Jenny, didn't I say something like, she's going to have to forgive him again?" And again now. You say, why? Because that stuff comes back. You know, in the moment, she's following what she knows from Scripture. She even quoted it, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But then there's a reality when you see the two precious girls. Where's Dad? You know this. By the way, this is you. I've got a question. Now, some of you remember, I'm going to mention one name, just the first name, Gary. I'm preaching on forgiveness. I'm not preaching to him. I'm preaching primarily to me because I've had to wrestle through forgiveness. The more I preached, the more infuriated he became. Why? Because he was willing to justify himself. He was right. By the way, do you realize you can be right and still have to forgive? Wow. Forgiveness. Otherwise, what do you carry with you the rest of your life? All that gunk. You just can't. And by the way, with life, it just starts accumulating and accumulating. I said this last week. It breaks my heart. You know, when you're a kid, you know nothing about your family. You know, your family is your family, correct? I didn't know. Mom had a lot of, there was a lot of them in the family. So I had 8 uncles that lived and their wives, and there was mom and 2 sisters, and they had husbands. This was my family. You know, I don't analyze my uncles. But later on, when I grew up, and the one aunt, when my uncle got sick, she separated him from his own brothers and sisters, would not allow him to see them. He wasn't able. She wouldn't take him and wouldn't let people visit. Then I found out from my father, yeah, she had done that to her own family. Oh, Tom, it gets worse. She did it to her own children. And what did her children do? I have no idea. Her one son, her oldest daughter, married a career military guy, retired probably E8, E9, good soldier, fought in the first desert, whatever it was, under senior, tank commander, actually, over in wherever it was, in I guess it was Iraq and wherever else. But my point is, she separated from her family. They're all evil. She separated from her husband's family. And then her own kids are evil. Well, who's good? Oh, that's a bitterness you don't want to carry. I want to ask you this question again. Why don't people forgive? We know it's taught in the Scripture. Yes? I want to say this. Unless you get simple ideas, you're going to keep doing this. You just keep coming back to whatever it is you started with. Do you want to be that person? I'm asking you, do you want to be that person? And repeat the same stupid over and over and over. I think not. Well, let's move on to the next one. We need to look at Luke 14. It's actually in your notes. You don't even have to turn there, or you can, whichever you prefer. Now, I have a different word for this. I call this a yeah, but. Now, look at me say this. Because I'm loud and obnoxious, people don't do it to me as much, but we've had people in this room in the past do it. And almost every time, everybody was wondering, I'm being specific, what is she talking about? Nobody knew what she was talking about except the person you're looking at, because she was doing a yeah, but you didn't understand. You will this morning. When things get hot, people start... because they don't want that heat coming their direction. By the way, it made no difference what I was talking about. She was always disagreeing with me in every single thing I ever said. My only hope is wherever she's at now, she's done. Well, she's doing the same thing there because she's a locust. She's going to move around. You say, Pastor, she's a yeah, but person. In your notes. Pastor Koch, you read the verses for me, would you?
Then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or supper.
Simple statement. When you make a dinner or supper, who do you call? Who do you invite? Go ahead, Tim.
Call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and recompense be made thee.
Don't overread this. This is not saying you can't have your family over. What is this saying? You need to broaden up a little bit and maybe include people other than you and your posse and your, you know, your acolytes and your sycophants. Maybe you should say, I might include some other kinds of people, especially people in need. Continue, Tim.
Well, when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God.
Look him in the eyes. Do you know what you just heard? Hey, here, do you know what you just heard? Yeah, but I'm changing the subject. Jesus is talking about you. You know who you are, Christians. He's saying, don't hang out with the group that always... Pat, by the way, you do hang out with your friends and your family. That's fine. But some people can't get out of that clique, and therefore they never go anyplace because they're stuck in their little group. Everybody agrees with them. It's called an echo chamber. What does this guy say? Blessed is he that eats. What? Has nothing to do, well, it is. It's a way of changing the subject. It's, yeah, but, by the way, there's another one in there. Jesus is going down the line. It's in Luke also. You probably heard it, and some woman just pops up and says, Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the breast that gave thee whatever. And you're like, but he wasn't talking about that. That's called, yeah, but I ain't listening to you. By the way, this is called God. Can I say this? If you read the Bible every day, do you ever actually listen? Or do you always, 10 years later, you're pretty much where you were 10 years before. You're pretty self-righteous, pretty self, how would I say this? I don't want to use the word self-righteous.
Self-content.
Yeah, just very content with exactly where I am. Same place. All right. Well, how can you overcome that? Well, I'm not going to give you, this is not intellectual, friend. The two nickels. We're going to do two nickels. We'll start one. We might get both sides. It has two sides. If you understand yourself, this will help you immensely. Do you understand yourself? Well, you will after this. This is every person that I've ever met, including the ugly guy you're looking at. There are no differences. Give me 1 second. I'm going to talk about Governor Pritzker, but I'll skip that for now. My favorite video recently. Governor Pritzker got on the news. We don't want National Guard in Chicago. Somebody remembered that during the Democratic Convention, he called the National Guard up. So which is it, Governor Pritzker? But see, if you're loyal to whoever, you don't pay attention to that stuff. By the way, we live under one of the, well, I'll skip that for now, more politics. First nickel, are you guys ready? Now, I know this doesn't affect you, of course. The first nickel, side A, is the desire By the way, this is not intellectual. Look at me. This is not an intellectual problem. This is a human problem. We all desire. By the way, have you ever gotten lines that I prefer to be wrong? But the desire to be right can close us off to anything God is doing in our life. We just get in a little circle, and we desire to be right and everything else. We don't care. It's just us. And I find this common. You shouldn't be among Christians, but we do have... We all have that desire. Again, can I ask you, have you ever desired to be wrong? Srajit, my handsome friend back here, you're going to be a doctor. By the way, is this ever scare you a little bit? You're going to be diagnosing people, and it's important that you make the right choices. Let me ask you seriously, not you, hypothetically. Are you always going to make the right choices? It's impossible, isn't it? By the way, what's a good doctor do? If he finds out that's not working, a good doctor does what? Look at me. Look at me. Cleanses the palate. Steps back. Starts again. What does a bad doctor do?
Doubles down.
Doubles down. By the way, if your diet isn't working, double down on the diet. Hello? Because it isn't, triple down, quadruple down. By the way, it isn't working. Maybe you should try something else. Maybe you should get some help. Maybe you should talk to somebody. I don't know. By the way, folks, we get stuck because we can't do this. Let me cleanse the palate. Let God be true. The double nickel. It starts with what? I want to be right. Obviously, I say in your notes, obviously this can grow to the desire to be righteous or self-righteous or more right or more righteous. Where you just have to walk into every room and you're the most righteous person in the room. I don't know why that is. All right, now this is a testimony. I'm looking around the room who I should pick on here. I want to be careful. I better not mention anybody. I better not make that joke about somebody. You heard about the husband. Came to his friend. His best friend says, I got a problem. I got the biggest problem in my marriage. And the friend said, what happened? He said, my wife said I was right. What do I do now? Have you ever heard a conversation with husbands and wives? I'm being dead serious. What's the problem? By the way, I know young people, I'm not going to have problems in marriage. Oh, good grief. Have you ever listened to people argue? I know I'm right. Listen, I had my brother, wonderful person, storm out. And by the way, I can be vindictive. I don't have Jim Duncan's skill set with him. He can be vindictive with a razor. Mine's more of a sledgehammer, okay? Folks, I try to have a conversation with my brother-in-law, which is not easy. For whatever reason, he's not real conversant. Not a bad guy, but trying to get him to, and I'm usually good at drawing people, I can't get to him very often. Once in a while, I can. And my brother was there. So then I have to do two things. I'm being serious. You don't have to like this. I'm trying to, number one, have a conversation with my brother-in-law, something we can talk about, and avoid minds, because my brother knows everything. About everything. We had just driven a weird way down to where we were. We had taken a different path, and we'd come across some new elevators. Some of you are like, what? Grain elevators. There was a city. They had built up a bunch in some little hit. And I said, Gene, I didn't know they were still building them. But there was a whole city, a small city with these things in them. And we talked about that. I said, you know, there's an elevator on 108 between Carrollton. I know you know where that's at. It goes west towards the Illinois River. You go out about 3 miles, and there's this old elevator. And I said, I asked Dad about that elevator. And my brother said, there's not an elevator there! First of all, who cares? Yes? It's an elevator. Who cares? But secondly, I know it's there because I've talked to my dad about it when we drove past it in the past. Uh-huh. Did he? You were there. What did he do? He blew up, stood up, and walked out and took his family and said, I didn't come here to argue. And I'm like, what? I didn't know I was an elevator? So, Jim, sorry, I'm not as bad as you, but I have those tendencies. So I was with my mother and my wife and my sister, one of them, in the car. You were with me. And I drove to that place, and I took pictures of that elevator. You say, what? Oh, quit, Nicole. You wouldn't do that?
Oh, I would.
Now, Nicole, not that I'm spiritual. You got me? there's no reason to send him the photos.
No.
You know why? He would say, well, I wasn't talking about that one or something. By the way, can you imagine getting mad about that? I was trying to find something that you couldn't argue about. You guys are dead in an elevator. Who cares? They put corn in it, you know? Who cares? By the way, some of you haven't answered the question. My wife said I was right. What do I do now? Okay, you guys are funny this morning. In your notes, the other side of the equation. We don't have time. We're stopping now to stand and pray. It's not terrible. We are. Christy knows why we are. Let's pray, please. Father, thank you for this day. Bless our time. In Christ's name. Thank you very much.